Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And for all the hype about Facebook's gargantuan stock offering, at least one underlying fact gets papered over in most of the coverage. Mark Zuckerberg isn't doing this because he wants to. He's doing this because he feels he has to. The New York Times yesterday had one line tucked into its IPO article that said the offering will compel Zuckerberg, the 27-year-old CEO, to do what he has until now preferred to avoid, share information about his company. And listen to this short clip from NPR's Steve Henn on All Things Considered yesterday.
Facebook's hand was forced. It had more than 500 shareholders, and SEC rules required that it either file public disclosures or go public this year.
They either have to file public disclosures or go public. So the company whose business model is to get us to share our financial information is trying to avoid sharing theirs. Click like or don't like now. Let's talk about the biggest ever internet IPO, including Facebook's privacy policy when it comes to Facebook, with Dan Gallagher, tech editor for The Wall Street Journal's MarketWatch.com. Hi, Dan. Thanks for doing this. Welcome to WNYC.
Well, thanks for having me.
Did that All Things Considered clip get it about right, in your opinion? Is Facebook being faced with a choice of either going public or making certain information public?
Well, that's one factor. When you get to a certain number of shareholders, there's regulations that say that when you get to that 500 point, you have to start disclosing some financial information. But that's not the only factor going on with Facebook, is that here in Silicon Valley, young tech companies lure talented employees with the promise of stock options and equity because they usually can't match the huge salaries that they can get more established firms. So Facebook has this growing list of employees that that's been there actually for a few years now, and these employees also want to start getting some reward for the equity they have. So it's not simply the regulation front. It's part of the culture here that eventually these companies have to make that kind of choice.
So there are various reasons. But what about that reason? What is Mark Zuckerberg so intent on hiding that he didn't want to go, that he's going public in part to avoid having to disclose?
I don't think there's anything in the financials that they're worried about hiding. In fact, the financials actually look very good for the most part. I think from what I've heard, I haven't spoken to him directly about this, but from what I've heard is that he's concerned about the culture of the company changing once it goes public. People start focusing on, how the stock is doing and, timing, deciding what kind of products they do or what kind of services and their moves based on trying to, a lot of companies, when they get into this game, they end up having to kind of play this Wall Street game of meeting quarterly earnings targets. And if you don't, the shares go down and up and so forth. So I think he's more worried a little bit about what it does to the culture of Facebook, because when you're a private and especially a young private tech startup, you don't really have to worry about any of that.
I noticed that in the print edition of the journal today, too. They said Zuckerberg has been reluctant to go for an IPO because he's worried about what having a stock listing might do to the company's culture. Like if they're too concerned with watching the stock price and going for, having the best quarter that they can instead of the best long-term future. That certainly has happened at other companies, hasn't it?
It happens quite frequently. In fact, it's the common rule that companies end up starting to kind of, manage to meet earnings expectations and, playing for the quarter. It's kind of the rare company that, that is able to, I don't know if the word is stay above that. I mean, all companies have to pay attention to their shareholders. But, some companies right from the start, such as Amazon.com and Google are two good examples, kind of build into their DNA right from the get-go that, they're not going to play the game in that same way. So they don't really try to hit targets. And one result of that is that those stocks tend to be more volatile. They'll swing up and they'll swing down more drastically after the company reports earnings and does other moves. So that's there's cost to that approach, but so it's I guess a flip of the coin whether it's preferable for a company or not.
But back to the disclosure question, it's easy to see the irony, of course. Does Facebook feel there are negative consequences for sharing too much information about itself while it's trying to get the public to share all their information about themselves with it?
You know, I think just about any company, any executive understands that, you know, they don't want to open up the robe too much when they, you know, when it comes to their business. There's always some secret sauce involved in terms of how their business works that you know, is sometimes best to keep under wraps, because otherwise you have competitors that can try to copy your approach. So that, I think that's really common across the business sector. I don't get the sense that Facebook is more concerned than others about, you know, hiding anything financially. I mean, like I said, they earned $1 billion in profits last year. It's actually some pretty strong numbers. I think, though, you know, when you do look at the numbers, there you get the sense that some of the valuation talk ahead of this IPO may have been a little frothy. You know, they're still, you know, relatively small on a revenue base compared to a lot of the bigger established tech firms.
Why is it that you can share less information about a company by going public than by staying private? That seems kind of counterintuitive.
I'm not sure I understand what you mean, share less information about a company.
Well, the reporting that I cited in the Times and on NPR is that they would have had to disclose things if they did not go public that they do not have to disclose now that they are going public. Is that your understanding?
You know, I'm not sure of all the rules that come into place when you hit that 500 share mark, because usually when most companies get that, especially under about the last, you know, in the last decade since there's been a lot of financial reforms, you know, most companies, if they're getting to that level, it's worth it to go public anyway, because when you stay private but you end up still having to have all the costs of reporting your financials and you know, and independent audits and all those other costs that go with it, and you don't have the additional benefit of having a stock that you can use for things like compensation or acquisition. So I really don't see many companies that get to that level that choose not to go public, especially tech firms.
Dan Gallagher, tech editor for the Wall Street Journal's MarketWatch.com. This from a company that tried to foist the Beacon program on its users, automatic public posting on your page of things you bought or did on other websites. The public backlash stopped that for the moment, but they're trying to come back around at the Beacon model by having each user create a list of which friends can see what information automatically. They call it frictionless, meaning the information gets shared automatically. Why does Facebook keep pushing the bounds of involuntary personal disclosure? What do they get from that?
Well, you know, 85% of Facebook's revenue that we learned from the filing yesterday is coming from advertising. So it's similar to Google in that respect, that they're very dependent on selling ads. Now, what Facebook has that's seen of great value to advertisers is the information on its users, information on what its users, you know, like to talk about and do and who their friends are and that. So there's potentially valuable information in what people do there. But of course there's the flip side of that is that putting too much of that information out there starts to get people concerned about privacy. It's hard to know if it's a universal concern or not. I mean, everybody who has lists of friends on Facebook, they have friends that seem to share every waking moment of their lives, and others that barely share at all. So if you know what the average Facebook user, you know, wants, is comfortable having public, and what they want private is probably an open question. So
right. I think, well, the concern with Beacon, of course, came when Facebook users woke up one day to find things being posted on their sites that they had no idea were going to be publicly shared. And so Facebook is trying to work through that universe of public-private with respect to your various behaviors on other sites. An interesting competition, and you touched on this, is between Facebook and Google. And it's for what advertising model will dominate the internet. Ads based on what you search, which is a solo activity, and that's obviously Google's model, or ads based on your social activity. Is it really an either-or?
I'm not sure it's an either-or. There's probably room for both business models in the sector. I think that the one that's based on social media still has a lot of is still very young and nascent. And like I said, it's balanced by the fact that advertisers can't, you know, Facebook can't really give out all the information that it may want to, or that its advertisers may want to, because of privacy concerns. But if you think about, you know, seeing what your friends bought on Amazon or watching on Netflix or whatever else, there's there's potentially a lot of valuable information there that advertisers would love to see. So I don't think anybody's quite yet hit on the secret, a good formula for making that a lucrative business, while at the same time, you know, meeting privacy rules and concerns. It's worth noting that Facebook's total revenue is Google had 10 times the revenue Facebook had in 2011. And they're both, you know, mostly getting it from internet ads. So that kind of tells you right now where more of the money is going into which segment.
And that's part of Facebook's desire, is to eat Google's lunch in that respect, is to try to move the model from more search-oriented advertising to more social media-oriented advertising. Last thing, Facebook has yet to decide whether it'll be listed on the New York Stock Exchange or the tech-oriented NASDAQ, I read. Are there pros and cons of each?
I don't see that many anymore. You know, I think at one time, you know, where a lot of tech companies kind of congregated on NASDAQ, you know, there might have been some value in terms of getting visibility with large investors. But now there's a fair amount of companies that are traded on New York, and I don't think it makes a great deal of difference to investors. You know, at the end of the day, investors are going to buy into the stocks that they think are worth something, and they'll do it no matter what exchange it's on.
Dan Gallagher, tech editor for The Wall Street Journal's MarketWatch.com. Thanks for joining us today.
No problem.
And coming up next, we begin a February series on parenting around the world. Today, what kinds of baby care are universal and which ones vary by culture? We will talk about, for example, why they keep kids up later in Argentina than they do here. And we'll take your phone calls if you're from anywhere else in the world. And we'll talk to the author, Mei-Ling Hopgood, and start comparing parenting styles around the world. Today, what kinds of baby care are universal and which ones vary by culture? Stay with us.